DuBose, as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio, as is customary, the second and fourth Tuesday following Fairhope City Council meetings. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Lori.
Thank you for being here today, and a lot to talk about. I was able to watch a large portion of the Fairhope City Council meeting last night with the live stream on YouTube, and remind folks that they can watch it at any time. In fact, I have some of it pulled up now on the computer, but it's really nice when we get to talk in person about it. And the big one was the moratorium that would apply to the filing of subdivisions and multiple occupancy project applications outside the city limit and then any property annexed. It was amended slightly. Can you give us some details? And you had some really good discussion and points that you brought out before the vote when you put on your utility hat.
That's right.
That was
That's
cute.
Right. The clarification is really just clarification in the language that was recommended, and really the only change that took place was if you look at the ordinance itself, it says it is section 2, part A, and it's really all we did was say informal review or if they've done a pre-application. That's the only word that was really added.
Things that were already in progress.
Right,
the
already
things,
in the
pipelines. The ball was already rolling, because a lot of this, the engineering studies, et cetera, takes mega dollars.
Correct.
So those that have already been started.
Right, this is not, not an easy thing to do for anybody who is elected. And I mean, obviously, but seeing the growth that we're seeing and the infrastructure issues that we have, the roads, the stormwater, it's not just utilities. I mean, this was something that is necessary. And again, there's a lot going on right now between the comprehensive plan update. You have the zoning districts that are being proposed in the county. We have the SB 107 or Act 297, which is a law now that does some things in our ETJ. That was one of the factors that we factored in when we talked about just going outside the city limits. Those are, right now our ETJ is under some scrutiny because of the SB 107. We have to, we're trying to come to an agreement with the county to see where our boundaries are going to be.
And refresh our memories, that was state legislation that is going to reduce the extra
territorial jurisdiction.
Correct. Which is generally that 3 miles outside the city limits.
Right. And basically what we've done, we've made a proposal to the county that would take all of our jurisdictions, our permitting, our police, and our planning to a mile and a half, and it would basically freeze there. And then we would grow into that based on annexations. It would never, right now if you annex property in, then it extends based on that annexation. But right now, the way we have it proposed is they would marry each other, and then they would basically freeze in place.
But this moratorium has to be advertised, and so it's going to be what? Late January before it will be effect? When can it go into effect?
December 22nd.
Oh, good.
So it has to be advertised for 7 days.
Oh, good.
Yes.
And sooner than I thought. But to clarify, and you wanted to clarify this last night, things like the Publix, the Lawrence Road apartment complex, all these other developments that you see starting or planned, they are excluded because they've already started.
They are excluded because they've already started. Or they've, that's one thing I told somebody. I said, we can put a moratorium in place, but I don't know that people are going to see, to be honest, much of a difference. It is going to give us a chance from a city's perspective and staffing perspective to address some of the ordinances that we want to change, and to look at the comprehensive plan and change some of those zoning regulations and look at the utilities. Right now we have, almost $23 million in capital expenditures in the utilities to get those utility plans in place, to look at the extensions that we need to do to serve all this growth. But there are a lot of things that are on the books. We have subdivisions that are just starting to build out that were approved 2 years ago. And that's some of the confusion. Somebody will come in and they'll say, I didn't know that subdivision was going in. Well, it was approved 2 years ago and notifications
COVID
were sent.
Stopped everything.
Correct.
Right.
And then notifications were sent or whatever it might be. And these people could be new to the area and not even know that there was a subdivision planned.
Some people say the moratorium may be too late. What is your response to that?
And I don't disagree with that. But again, that's not a decision that we take lightly. I think we had talked about it casually for a while, and really, this just transpired, some firm action really just transpired over the past couple of weeks. I mean, we knew that there was, we had again, had casual conversation, had talked about it. We've, you know, talked to staff, said, why would we do this? You know, what are the reasonings behind it? And then we started the comprehensive plan update. But really, for all of us to sit down collectively and talk about it, we really had not done that as a group until the past 2 weeks. We had had conversation, you know, but not as a group.
The comprehensive plan meetings, I think, may have helped spur that on, because you heard it over and over and over again from citizens attending, stop the growth, regulate the growth.
And that's what I was saying. You know, when we started that comprehensive plan process, and everybody's like, stop the growth. And not that we don't hear it in council meetings or on see it on social media, or just when we're having conversations with friends or family, and they're like, you know, why can't y'all stop the growth? You know, we're not stopping the growth, but this will just allow us to hopefully take a breath and manage it better than we're doing right now.
You also said something that I thought was interesting. I'd like you to explain. You said we've been reactionary.
We have. One thing that I said last night, we're doing a big planning meeting on Thursday with some of the Planning Commission members, and there's a book that we're reading to do homework before that class. And one of the things they said, you know, you put subdivision regulations in place because you become, that helps you be reactionary to what people want to do with their land. And that's true. I never really thought about it that way, but it's true. We put these regulations in place, and then somebody comes in and says, I want to build this, and then we react to it based on the subdivision regulations. Well, we need to be more proactive about doing things. I mean, we really need to look at high-stressed areas, look at the utility plan, look at, you know, development. We need to have a chance to not be so reactionary all the time.
And part of it is because... Is part of it because we're short-staffed in the planning department?
You know, we haven't always been short-staffed in the planning department. We were fully staffed, you know, several months ago. We are. We do have, you know, new people in place. Really, I don't think there's any of our planning staff who's been there longer than 2 years. So that does present some challenges. We do have a planning position open that I think they offered last week. And got that position filled. So I think, you know, we're getting there. We lost a GIS tech who retired the past couple weeks. So we need to fill that position. But, you know, staffing across the board is I think a challenge for everybody right now. I think the municipalities and the county are all stealing from each other, stealing employees from each other. And so it does create some voids.
And that is interesting, because previously there were planning department people that had been here for a long time.
Mm-hmm. There have been, you know, but right now, again, Hunter Simmons, who is our planning director, you know, he's only been here a couple years, so he would be the... Kim Burmeister is in that department. She's been here quite a number of years.
Oh, yes,
she's our code enforcement officer.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else, no, they're... David Powell also had some longevity with the department. He retired a couple weeks ago.
Someone asked at the meeting last night if we could see a list of everything already started that would not be included in the moratorium. And I believe Hunter Simmons gave a web, somehow we could go look it up. Do you plan on getting a list generated for the public?
We can. That, and Hunter didn't say it was already available. He's going to hopefully get that done. That's something that I've asked for as well. I know that I look at certain corridors, like for instance 181 and 104. I asked them to give me a map of and plot the subdivisions that were already in and projects that were already approved in that area. But no, currently we do not have that available. We are going to work on that and hopefully get that on the website fairly soon.
Yeah, that 181-104 corner is just going crazy.
It is.
That's where Publix is going to be, and what else?
Well, you have Publix, you have USA, you have...
You have the
Harvest Green, which is 374 homes, and then you have... There's a Rockwell Townhomes that are planned for there, and so there's a lot going on at that corridor.
And then,
RV park.
And we had a public hearing last night to zone property of Del Corte to B2 General Business District concurrent with annexation, which is also at 181 and 104.
Mm-hmm. And that's the Publix grocery store.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay. And there was confusion because apparently there was a typo that it was northeast, not northwest.
Right. It is the northwest corner of that piece of property.
So... That was the Publix's property that was going to be built regardless.
Correct.
Now they just want to annex into the city.
They do, which is huge for Fairhope, because if we have a grocery store that's outside our city limits or any retail store, we only are able to collect half of the sales tax percentage. So this allows us to collect that whole percentage of sales tax, which is huge for, you know, revenue for Fairhope. It allows us to do things like hire extra people and, you know, do a better job with operations when you have that additional revenue.
There was also another public hearing for annexation of Hilltop Fairhope LLC, mm-hmm. a PUD on the west side of Section Street at Patoil Drive. I don't know where that is.
Yeah, and I was looking that up last night,
too. Is that way out section?
It is way out section. I'm not familiar with that drive, to be honest, and that's why I had to look it up mm-hmm. myself. But again, that's the other thing is, as these properties annex in, I mean, it's great for us with ad valorem and, again, with sales tax if it's a retail development.
And then when they're annexed in, you have a bit more control over the development itself.
Because they come in with zoning,
yeah.
right?
I wanted to hear more of that emphasis last night at the meeting. Yeah. It's a win-win for the city.
It is.
Because of the revenue generated, as well as folks can now vote.
That's right.
They're annexed in.
They can vote.
Plus, you've also got more control over how the development proceeds.
And that's one of the things I think you were talking about, they spoke about last night, like the zoning districts just outside the city limits that the lady that spoke last night was talking about, that the county's doing these zoning districts. That's the other thing is, I mean, we don't care who zones it. We don't care if the county zones it or they come in and they annex in and Fairhope zones it. The zoning is really important for people to make sure we manage this growth better than we're doing right now.
I was very impressed with this young lady, Elizabeth Gable mm-hmm. Wilson, who stood up in the public comments. She is apparently spearheading an effort to have a couple of districts zoned in Baldwin County and even special referendums coming up in February.
February 15th, and that would be for District 8 and District 27. And if you have questions on those, I would go to their, they have Facebook pages set up. They also have, I'm sure it's on the county's website under planning that you can get some more information on that.
What are the Facebook? What are the districts? Is it 38 and 8?
I thought it was 8 and 27.
Okay, well, I've got her pulled up to play a part of it. She thanked you for assistance.
Well, she has emailed me a couple times and just, you know, given her some information. And also, she's working with Clarice, who is on our planning commission. So she's working with Clarice also on some of those zoning districts.
Okay. What else from last night's meeting would you like to mention?
Let's see. We really just bought a lot of equipment last night, to be honest.
A lot of it was the purchase of budgeted items.
It was. A lot of it was budgeted items. And, you know, I had the city clerk in particular. She was like, I don't remember a December when we've had this many items on the agenda. Because the holiday time is typically a time where, you know, it's slower for everybody. But one thing was passing the budget on time. This is probably the mark where it gives everybody a chance to research their equipment, to get some pricing, and to make sure, you know, it gets on the council agenda and gets passed. And two, the employees have been great about being proactive with these purchases because things are so delayed because of the supply chain.
Right.
So they want to go ahead and get this stuff approved by the council.
Right.
The other thing that was probably of interest would be the street and traffic committee recommendations. There was a lot of conversation about that and wanting to look at North Ingleside and do something there to help slow some traffic on North Ingleside.
I heard in a recent traffic study 18,000 vehicles in what, a week or two weeks
time
on North Ingleside?
Yeah. It's a lot, and they had recorded speeds as high as 70 miles an hour on Ingleside, which
that's
is crazy.
Crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those residents were really really hoping that they would put a three-way stop in. But again, they made a good point last night, Councilman Robinson and Councilman Burrell, talking about the fact that, you know, we have these traffic committees. We create these committees because these people have more expertise than we do in studying traffic. And, you know, the police chief serves on that committee mm-hmm. as well. So we really don't take their, we take their recommendations with, you know, we don't take them lightly. So when people come in and say, well, we don't like that recommendation, we want another one, you know, we want something else done, we really have to study that and probably take it back to the traffic committee because we want to make sure we're following those recommendations because they're the experts.
Yes. Number 11, mm-hmm. a resolution that the City of Fairhope support passage of legislation in the United States Congress to designate Alabama's underwater forest as part of the National Marine Sanctuary System.
Right.
That's just, I guess, a formality to protect the area from what, divers
it
and
is,
whatnot?
It is, from divers and just from anybody who's trying to damage that, you know, that forest.
That's an amazing
It is.
An amazing
there was a,
thing
it,
we
I
have
I have not
here.
Watched that documentary on that, but I've heard it's really, really interesting.
We all need to do that. Oh, I had a question in my mind, and it just escaped me. Oh, we were talking about, and I got the impression from your speech last night, you know, strain on utilities with all the development, and we're getting, it seems like daily, water main break notifications. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, it's a contractor, but more often than not, it's not. What is going on?
You know, a lot of it, there are times where it's contractors, and when we post to social media, we don't always call out the contractor, obviously. Some of it's, you know, we talked about last night, some of it's clearing ditches, and they'll, you know, hit the line when we hate that they do that. But the other thing is, some of it's just old aging infrastructure. You know, one thing Jason Langley talked about last night is we had a water main breakdown on County Road 1, and that's because the salt in the soil down there, and it corroded some of the fittings on the pipe, and it caused it to burst, and we had to go back in there and put stainless steel fittings in. You know, some of it's like that, but a lot of it's just, some of it is just aging infrastructure and how long it's been in the ground.
We have a big project here downtown, as we can see. We had to walk through some of the construction to get here, the Church Street infrastructure project. Are there future plans to be proactive on these water pipes further out, like we're seeing on 32 and 98?
There are some areas that we know that need to be replaced. 32 is one of those areas that we've been looking
at.
County Road 1. So we do know that there needs to be some replacement of pipe there. So that is part of our plans too. You know, the putting the line in down Fairhope Avenue out to County Road 33. That's one of them. And then there's got to be another force main that's going to be put in that will help service some of that area at 181 and 104. Mm-hmm. So, again, a lot of those infrastructure projects, you know, we're looking at a complete, you know, engineering plan to look at our entire gas system. The substation upgrades, the capacity study we're doing there, and that 46 kV line that was approved last night, that's part of an overall infrastructure project. So there's a lot of big infrastructure projects that are going to happen in the next year that will hopefully help us meet the demand of some of this growth that we're seeing and make our systems, you know, more resilient and more efficient.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back a moment to the moratorium ordinance. I forgot to ask this question. Why not include the city limits?
You know, I think that one of the reasons that we've talked about that was because, you know, we're seeing the majority of the growth in our outlying areas, just outside the city limits, in those areas. And so that was one of the things that we factored in. Also, the SB 107 impacts areas outside our city limits, not necessarily inside, and we're really trying to get a handle on that jurisdiction and what it's going to look like. So I think those are some of the major reasons why we did not look at the city, you know, look at the city limits.
Okay. One of the items on the agenda was the fireworks and the band for New Year's Eve. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we're excited to be able to bring that back this year in a normal year, to have the band and have the gathering downtown. I know that we're you know, renting the tents like we've always done, but we're really encouraging people to come down, bring a lawn chair if you don't have a tent, just make it a big street party, and looking forward to that, dropping the ball at midnight and having the band play and the fireworks.
Very good. We're speaking with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan here at WABF. It is 8:43 and 59 degrees. We're going to take a quick break to check in with Kenny in coastal traffic, and we'll be right back with more. Stay tuned, WABF. Good morning.
From the Spring Hill Toyota Traffic Center, Mobile Police work on accidents Range Line at Abigail Drive and Nevius at General Road. Both are fender bender. They're clearing the earlier accident, I-65 southbound exit ramp to I-10 headed westbound. That delay is cleared in that area. And still no problems on the Bayway or Causeway or through either tunnel. Bellingraph Gardens and Home is celebrating the 26th anniversary season of the Magic Christmas and Lights with a brand new scene. The Sparkling Winter Wonderland is open nightly, rain or shine, from now until January 5th. Purchase tickets online at bellingraph.org. It's Kenny with Coastal Traffic on WABF 1480.
What do you get the person who has everything or that needs an escape from high-tech gadgets? Local pottery art or pottery classes.
Great idea.
The Kiln Pottery Studio and Gallery invites you to shop local and support local artists with a variety of one-of-a-kind artwork available. Select pottery pieces in the gallery are 20% off and all others are 10% off. And most work is created by local artists. The Kiln also sells gift certificates good for gallery pieces and pottery classes. We offer classes in wheel throwing and hand building, private classes, workshops, and private parties. The Kiln Pottery Studio and Gallery is open, though the street is closed through traffic. Get easy access from Fairhope Avenue or the parking garage to the Kiln Studio and Gallery, 9 North Church Street in downtown Fairhope.
This is WABF, and we are back with Mayor Sherry Sullivan. There is a citizen that seems to be expressing dissatisfaction with you and the police department and the handling of what they're claiming to be some racial discriminations. And can you comment on that at all? It does seem like the situation is volatile, if not the possibility of perhaps some imbalance.
Yeah, and Lori, I can't say much, but one thing I do want to say is that anybody who knows me knows that I'm pretty open to people coming in. I'll pretty much talk about whatever you want to talk about. But that once attorneys are involved, it kind of ties my hands. And he has apparently hired an attorney, and they've been handling that through our city attorney, Marcus McDowell. And so, obviously, I cannot have conversation. That communication needs to happen between the attorneys. And, you know, I certainly, there are times when things happen with the police department that I can't comment on. And unfortunately, that's the situation that I'm in right now.
Anyone that is on Next Door Fairhope has read some of that discussion and conversation. It seems a bit bizarre, but I did want to ask.
Sure, and I'm happy. Like I said, typically I'd be happy to talk about anything, but there are times where you can't comment.
Anything you want to mention? I haven't thought to ask. I feel like I'm forgetting something.
I don't think so. I do want to remind people that the city offices are going to close early this week on Friday at 11:30. We have been posting that. We have our annual Christmas party for the employees. So we're really excited about doing that again. We have not gotten to do that last year because of COVID. And so excited to be able to do that again, gather with the employees and thank them for their service this year, and hope their families have a great holiday. And then obviously we'll have the holiday next week where the city offices will close on Friday, so
yes.
Half a day Thursday and
okay.
Friday.
Well, and I was going to say Merry Christmas if I don't see you again,
but I will
because
yes.
Y'all have changed the meeting due to the holidays. You're meeting on the 22nd, next Wednesday.
Correct.
And you'll be able to come back Thursday.
Mm-hmm. I have it on
Very
my calendar.
Good. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For that. We always appreciate your time and your transparency. Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan, thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor joins us the second and fourth Tuesday with a normal schedule, and council the second and fourth Monday. You can also listen later at WABF1480.com if you miss it live on the radio, or you miss part of it, or you want to tell a friend.